Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lowell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. I'm your host, Jeff Carrier, and by my side is Seth Lull, back for another great episode. Hopefully, everyone had a successful championship weekend, bringing home the titles in all of your hometown leagues. Hopefully, a little bit of bragging rights and hopefully a little bit of trash talk along the way. I know I did my fair share of that as well. I think in this episode, Seth, we're going to kind of recap the 2017 season. We've been kind of waiting for this episode for a little bit, but we really wanted to see how some of these players were going to perform through the playoffs and really which ones were able to bring home the championship for some of our teams and who really kind of fell short. So we're going to do a 2017 recap and a awards session, I guess, and then looking in forward. And it's never too early, Seth, to do a little bit of a mock draft. So we have our top 10 heading into 2018. First, though, before we kind of jump into some of our awards, Seth, give me your general grade and thought into the 2017 overall season fantasy-wise.
It's hard to give it a grade. I mean, I thought grade. What am I grading it on? That's such a general question.
Maybe expectation, outcome. You know.
Well, for me personally, I'd say this was a C year. I made the playoffs in out of the let's say four big leagues that I'm in, five big leagues that I'm in, made the playoffs in three of them, went to the semifinals in three. So I'd say okay. I feel like I overachieved with a couple of those teams. Never really felt like I was in a groove. I thought it was a weird year overall, because a lot of the players, in particular receivers, that we liked just didn't perform up to the level we thought they would. So I thought it was a weird year overall. I thought it was there's definitely a lot of good players that came off the waiver wire, a lot of good in-season pickups, a lot of under-the-radar quarterbacks in particular that really performed well and outperformed a lot of quarterbacks that we, like Drew Brees and some of the quarterbacks that we drafted But I'd say overall, if I was to give it a grade, I'd say this was a solid C/B year. It definitely shook things up a little bit with all the surprises, and we're going to talk about a lot of those on the show tonight.
Yeah, I think that when I look at it, if I were to grade it only on a personal achievement, my grade would probably be like an A, because I had a pretty successful year this year, winning multiple titles and coming in second place. But if I were to look at it, like take a step back and take a look at just in terms of what we had been preaching and maybe our expectations on certain players, and how kind of on or off point we were all year, I'll probably give it like a BB+. Just in terms of like you mentioned tonight, and we've mentioned it prior, the quarterbacks were kind of really like upside down and backwards in terms of who we expected to be really good, with the emergence of Jared Goff and Carson Wentz and even Alex Smith. There's a couple, and then there was some injuries in there too, but same kind of goes for some of these younger running backs. So I thought that there was a lot of things that were completely on point, and I guess this kind of goes every year. I think overall there was more good than bad. But there was still a lot of surprises, which is to be expected with fantasy football, of course.
Yep, absolutely.
So let's go ahead and get into some of these awards here. And let's start off with Seth. Who is your biggest surprise?
Biggest surprise? Man, I think it has to be Alvin Kamara. And I know I really didn't want to go with an easy and obvious one, but how can it not be Alvin Kamara? He wasn't even one of the top two or three rookie running backs that people were excited about heading into the year. There's Kareem Hunt, who we thought would play right away, especially with the Spencer Ware injury. There's Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, even Samaje Perine. So I think Alvin Kamara, a lot of people looked at Adrian Peterson, Mark Ingram, the crowded backfield in New Orleans, and they didn't know that he was going to even play a lot, much less dominate the way he did. And you have been looking at his numbers. If he takes over the beginning of the season the way he did, a quarter of the way into it, he's probably the number one running back in all of fantasy, or close to it. Gurley had a monster year. So I think it absolutely has to be Alvin Kamara, number one because he's a rookie, but more than anything else, just because of the dominant year that he had. You know, really starting week four against Miami, I know I picked him up in a couple leagues and I dropped him after 3 weeks thinking, okay, he's going to be in the 8 to 10 point range. I'm not going to wait around for it. I can't afford to. And then he blew up in the London game against Miami and never really looked back.
Yep. And we did not discuss this prior hand, so I'll be curious to see where we kind of each fall with our, you know, selections, shall we? But my selection for biggest surprise is also Alvin Kamara. I don't know how, you know, it might be a little, you know, the obvious pick, but when someone finishes as the 6th overall player, at least as of after week 16, and, you know, they were projected to be the 3rd running back on the depth chart on the team, and that's that was a huge surprise. Didn't have any shares of him. You know, just didn't expect it to him to climb the depth chart and be that productive that fast. How do you see that backfield shaking out next year? I mean, I'm assuming he's kind of supplemented himself into, you know, being the number one target out of the backfield in terms of passing. Do you still think he's going to get 111 plus carries next year, or they might bring someone else in to kind of help complement Mark Ingram or another running back when it comes to the running game?
I think we'll have to keep an eye on. I think it all comes down to who, if they bring in somebody else. But he's only a rookie, and he was dominant enough that I would have to imagine, if anything, he's going to get more touches moving forward. Mark Ingram turns 29 later this month. So, you know, 29's getting to the point where, you know, that's the twilight of most running backs' careers. And I don't know. If I'm looking at one of these running backs to regress next year, come back a little bit more to earth, come back to earth more, it'd be Mark Ingram. So I think Alvin Kamara, just based in not only the volume, but he leads the NFL in yards per attempt. He's just been, I think it was around 7 yards per carry. So he's just been so dominant this year. He's going to catch the football a lot. He's going to get a lot of touchdowns, which helps Drew Brees at this stage in his career too, not having to, you know, rely on Drew Brees to throw for touchdowns every game. So I like Alvin Kamara a lot.
All right, now let's head to biggest disappointment. I'll start it off first here, then you go second.
Yeah, I'll be able to spend a lot of time on this, given my year.
I think one of the more obvious choices is Jordy. I'm not going to select him as the pick. I'm going to give him a slight benefit of the doubt just because he lost Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that his performance is acceptable, even though Aaron Rodgers went down. I think he had like 140 points as of today, which is just ludicrous, just absolutely pitiful, bad, destroying your team bad. Davante Adams was still able to put up points with Brett Hundley. That being said, he did lose Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go with someone who I know I'm going to be a little bit harsh on, had a pretty good year, in a PPR, just over 200 points, but we had really high expectations for him, and that is Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin managed to get just 70 catches, just barely over 900 yards. Again, this is through week 16, which is the most important part. But we expected something a lot more. And here's the other factor, too. A lot of times when you look at some of these wide receivers that may have had a bad year, you might be selecting one of them, Seth, like a Dez or someone else, Mike Evans, Jordy. Their quarterback didn't really perform all that great. But when you look at Russell Wilson, he was the number one quarterback. So you have the number one quarterback in fantasy. You're the number one wide receiver, but you managed to put up just over 200 points. So I'm going to call that my biggest disappointment, and that has a large part to do with how high we were on Doug Baldwin.
Yep, I got two, actually, and both of them were on one of my teams. I was lucky enough to have both of them. One is Jordy, and I get what you're saying. He lost Aaron Rodgers. I'm not giving him not letting him use that as an excuse by any means. He had 0 touchdowns with no Aaron Rodgers. Davante Adams still managed to have 5. And Davante Adams didn't miss a beat at all, played just as good as when Rodgers was there. Jordy Nelson was not only, I mean, you obviously, are going to expect a regression in production from, you know, whenever you lose a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. But Jordy Nelson didn't just regress. He was – you couldn't start him. He was someone that was getting 2 to 3 fantasy points a week. So for somebody that was going in the first round in most leagues, I mean, he's a guy that you probably took at the end of the first round, if not early second. That's a big investment to get zero return. So I think Jordy has to be in there. I think, you know, Doug Baldwin, Dez Bryant, Julio, there's a lot of other receivers, AJ Green, that we could put in this list, but at least a lot of those receivers were solid and you could play them. They were startable. Jordy has to be number one. Number two is DeMarco Murray. He's a running back that was going at the beginning of the second round, coming off a monster season in 2016. And I think he finishes the 18th overall running back. So, and he finished ahead of running backs like an Alex Collins, who, you know, if Alex Collins would have started the year and got the playing time they did halfway through the year, he's somebody that would have been way ahead of DeMarco Murray. So 18th is kind of a little bit misleading, because I still look at Alex Collins and say he had a much, much better year. So I think it's, for me, it's Jordy and DeMarco Murray. And then the only reason that I'm not putting someone like Amari Cooper in here, who I think is far and away, based on where he was being drafted, the biggest disappointment, you and I never really liked him to begin with. So this is just based on how much I like the player going into the year and what they ended up doing. Amari Cooper wasn't in any of my, I didn't own him in any of my leagues. So although I think he was by far the biggest bust, I wasn't, you know, expecting him to have a big year anyways.
Yep, very true. Two good names there with Jordy and DeMarco Murray. I wasn't very high on Murray. Luckily, didn't have him in any leagues, but... not that I was completely off of him the same way as Cooper either, though. So,
but the frustrating thing also with DeMarco Murray is, I think most people, the reason why a lot of people, if they didn't like DeMarco Murray, it was usually because they said, well, you know, Derrick Henry concerns me and he's going to get more touches. He's going to vulture more touchdowns away from DeMarco Murray. And that never really happened. Derrick Henry never really got a good hold on that starting running back gig. He never really – it was always DeMarco Murray or close to a 50-50 split. But it's not like Derrick Henry had a good year either. He had a terrible year. So you would think, given the fact that Tennessee set up to run the football, and if you were to tell me that Derrick Henry wouldn't be a factor all year, I'd say, yep, it's going to be another great year for Murray. And Murray was healthy and still nothing. So just very disappointing all around.
Yep, sure is. All right, let's head into comeback player of the year. Seth, who is your comeback player of the year?
DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, I think it's clearly DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, he's a player that we were both kind of iffy on heading into this year. You know, we didn't really, you know, he was someone that was going, I think, in the end of the second, third round, fourth round, somewhere in there, depending on the league you were in. And granted, he's coming off the worst year of his career with 4 touchdowns, under 1,000 yards in 2016. And with one game left to go, he's just under 1,400 receiving yards and 13 touchdowns. He played basically half the season with a rookie quarterback who was on pace to have a great, great year. But he's played the last several games with the likes of TJ Yates and company. So I think DeAndre Hopkins has to be the comeback player of the year. I think a lot of people might have thought that he'd bounce back a little bit and wouldn't be as bad as he was last year, because let's face it, no Brock Osweiler's addition by subtraction, but I don't think a lot of people saw him bouncing back in this way to the point where he's going to finish the year as the number two fantasy receiver.
Yep, and same player for me. So, and this brings up a good point. I think he's definitely the clear hands down comeback player of the year. I think that, as you mentioned, there was a little bit of uncertainty there with him. He was kind of going that late second, early third round pick there. And here's the beauty of picking one of these players that kind of me and you emphasize a lot, Seth, is take the points, take what you know. Now, we didn't have much expectations for Deshaun Watson. So that had also a big impact in terms of his outcome, but he still performed with other quarterbacks too. But clearly a large part of the season and some of his monster games came with Deshaun Watson. That being said, we still had him as an early third round pick because, hey, it's going to be better to take someone like a DeAndre Hopkins, who you know what you're getting, even if the ceiling we thought might not be that high, we know that the floor is good. And then what do you know? You might get a surprise, right? Like, because if the person is that talented, you just never know when that backup quarterback comes in, the rookie or whatever the case might be. He just has that magical year again because he is who he is, which is DeAndre Hopkins, and an absolutely physical freak. So I think this is another good feather in our cap, or, you know, for anyone, as a good reminder to say, hey, let's take the points that we know we're going to get versus this risky, unproven person or player coming off of an injury.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers, and he may or may not play in the last, you know, week 17, the last game of the season, but his numbers are very comparable to where they were the year before last year in 2015, where he had that monster year. His touchdowns are up, 13 touchdowns. His receiving yards are down a tick, but 176 targets, just a monster amount of targets. And if he plays, he'll probably get over 100 receptions as well. And if he misses week 17 this year, it'll be the first game that he's missed in his entire five-year career. So, and he's only 25. So somebody that, and we'll talk about it later, but a player that I think is going to be going very high in drafts next year.
Extremely high.
Such a bold statement by me.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the MVP, Seth. I'll go back to me here to kick it off. I think we probably have the same player. I think it goes without saying, the number one player in fantasy, and was also a stud during the playoffs, especially during fantasy championship weekend. Luckily, I did not have to play him in any of my finals. Otherwise, I probably would have been rolled over, and that is Mr. Todd Gurley coming out with a absolute monster performance, gigantic year. I know that a lot of his production, as I've mentioned to you, Seth, I'm slightly worried. And what I mean slightly worried is the same thing that when we talk about, you know, our top 3, 5, 10 picks, you kind of have to nitpick a little bit. Well, if I had to nitpick with Todd Gurley going into next year, and we'll start getting into our 2018 picks here, is the production from the receiving. And maybe more than anything else, it's the 6 receiving touchdowns. It's just hard to keep up. So 87 targets through 16 games or 15 games. So I think that would be my only slight concern. He just has so much production through the air. Assuming that they don't bring anyone else in to be very specific to a passing specialist for whatever reason. Obviously going to love Todd Gurley, but nonetheless, he is the MVP for the 2017 season.
Yeah, and I think, first of all, I that's who I have as well. I think it's a no-brainer. I'm not as concerned as you about the catching touchdowns being a fluke, because number one, he has Sean McVay as a coach. It's not Jeff Fisher any longer. So I think his down year last year, a lot of it had to do with Jeff Fisher. Unless they bring in somebody who is an established name, or they draft a running back that's going to share that role with him or take some of those, you know, snaps and catches away from him, I just think he's too dominant, and they just rely on him way too much. I just, even if he regresses a little bit, I mean, he's been far and away the best fantasy player this season. I just think that even if he regresses a little bit to the mean, I still think he is one of the top 2 or 3 fantasy running backs. I mean, let's face it, the guy still has 13 rushing touchdowns, even if you take away all of the receiving touchdowns. So I don't know. He's still run for over 1,000 yards, and I think he's too dominant. So I'm not too worried. I don't think he'll, let's put it this way, I don't think he will put up as many points next year as he has this year, but no player that has this kind of year does that. No player. So I think he's going to be in the ballpark. I think he's somebody that is going to produce another 300-point season in his sleep. And let's not forget, him and Le'Veon Bell are the only two running backs over 300 points. I mean, Gurley has has 98 more points than Kareem Hunt. And look at the way Kareem Hunt started, and Kareem Hunt's the third fantasy running back to this point. So
yeah,
and I'm not really worried at all.
Yeah, and again, this is the first year we've seen this much production go towards Todd Gurley through the air, which is why we laugh sometimes at these head coaches, you know, that rotate in these less athletic backs, you know, just because they're specializing in catching the pass. Like, you can't tell me Todd Gurley, who's significantly better than almost any other running back in the league, can't catch the ball, case in point this season. You look at Le'Veon Bell's catches, we never worry because we know they're going to get him the ball. Hopefully that's going to be the same thing with Sean McVay next year. Let's touch on a couple people that we like going into next year and that we are probably fading as of today before we get to our top 10 picks for 2018. Why don't you kick us off with players that you love going into 2018? They could be a little bit underneath the radar. They could be kind of like you kind of already kind of see it being kind of maybe one of your guys.
A good value. I think a lot of this has to do with value. So one of the players that I like a lot going into next season is AJ Green. There's going to be no Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis is going to step down after the season. So they're going to bring in a new head coach. I'll be interested to see who that is. And I just think that their offense is going to be better. It was a weird year for Cincinnati, and I just expect A.J. Green to bounce back. He's too good not to, and especially considering that A.J. Green, given his down year and all of the running backs that are going to be going in the first round, which we'll talk about it when we do our top 10, it's essentially all running backs, right? A.J. Green is going to be a second-round player. I mean, when have we ever been able to say that? So A.J. Green, and he might be a middle of the second round player. So love A.J. Green. I'm just going to give two more names to. One is Keenan Allen. He's played every single game this year, so the health hasn't been a concern. And he's had some really dominant weeks. He's been very consistent. He's going to be another player that's going to go in the second round. So I like him a lot. And then another one I think is Marvin Jones. It's his second year in Detroit this season. Really had a nice bounce back season that nobody's talking about. Got off to a slow start again, but really kind of settled in. Had a stretch of four or five games where he was just really dominant. One of the better pickups this season. So Marvin Jones, someone that's you're gonna be able to get, you know, in the fourth, fifth round, I'm guessing. So like him a lot. I think the theme heading into next year is gonna be the year of the wide receivers, because we see this all the time. Running backs have a really good year. People just go and overdraft these running backs, and then wide receivers bounce back and have a good year, and you get all these receivers at a good value because of the down year the year before.
And the thing with these running backs, too, is I was looking at some players to potentially fade or that I liked. I was actually, let me look up some running backs I might like lower down the list. But once you get past the top 10 running backs, it gets ugly. I mean, yeah, there was some pretty good high-end running backs this year, Seth, when you really look at it. But after you get through, like, the top 10, it starts getting ugly real fast. So it might be a similar situation next year in terms of the running backs being a mess after the top few. But I would agree that the wide receiver should have a bounce-back season. Now, my players that I like... a little bit on, you know, just in terms of who I think I'm going to be really high on. I'm going to throw two quarterbacks at you. I typically like to go after some, you know, lower end, later quarterbacks. A lot of people are going to be, you know, kind of bouncing onto these. Carson Wentz, Jared Goff's of the world. So two names I have for you is Case Keenum. Assuming he's still a starter somewhere, hopefully with Minnesota. I believe that Minnesota has a strong chance of having a good run this offseason. I don't think there's any reason why they can't keep starting him. I don't know the whole situation with Bradford. Teddy Bridgewater is not the answer. I'm pretty sure about that. He hasn't played football in over a year. Case Keenum's in the groove. They brought in Teddy Bridgewater when they're completely blowing out the team, and he still threw a pick six. So that's at least my belief. And then Jimmy Garoppolo being the other one. I know some people can be a little bit high on him, but there's going to be so many quarterbacks, but that by the time you get to Garoppolo, he's going to be so late that I'm going to like him. And then my boy Zach Ertz once again. You know, I've been talking about him for a couple years now.
You like him? You like Ertz?
I like him.
He's
and
okay?
The reason why I think I'm still going to be able to get him at a decent deal is because he's over 200 points, so he's the third tight end right now behind Kelce and Gronk. And, of course, you know Kelce and Gronk is going to go at least 2 to 3 rounds ahead of Ertz, at least. And Ertz missed, so far, 2.5 games, okay? So one of them was actually an injury, which you always have to be concerned with him on that. So that's, you know, as legit. You can count that almost probably every year. But the other one was a concussion. Actually, I guess they're both injuries. Both injuries, and the other one he had to leave early. So out of every single game he played in full, there's only one game that he scored less than 13 points in. As a tight end, less than 13 points in one game that he played the full game. So, and you'll be able to get him. He's basically the same equivalent talent as Gronk and Kelce in terms of fantasy production, that is. And of course, he hasn't had Carson Wentz the last couple of weeks and still put up 18 and 17 points. So, and he's only got 30 points behind Kelce and Gronk. So I think he's very comparable in terms of fantasy production, but he's going to go at a fairly relative value. So what are your thoughts on those three players?
I like all of them, especially Ertz. I think if there's one thing, I think, or one of the things that we learned this year, not that we didn't know it in the past, but I think it just kind of reinforced it this year, is how important having a good tight end is. Because, I mean, just for example, I was in a league this last week in the consolation bracket, and I started Ricky Seals-Jones, and he got me a zero bomb. It's like, if you don't have a good tight end, you're getting 0 points, you're getting 1, 2 points, it's a disaster. Ertz was incredibly consistent all year. It's worth paying out for these tight ends, because you know you're not going to have to draft one of these tight ends in the first two rounds. And over the course of the season, having that consistency is just very, very, very helpful.
All right, now let's go ahead to start off with players that we are going to potentially be fading. You know, this of course comes down to value. We don't know where everyone's ADP is right now. Something big that Seth and I stress on a lot. We had our ADP videos, of course, again this year. Seth, I'll kick us off. I've got one player, and then I got kind of one general theme that I'm going to continue to stand by. And the player is Leonard Fournette. I have a feeling that he's going to be probably a top 10 pick, most likely. He finished behind Christian McCaffrey, finished above Carlos Hyde as the 9th running back. So he's a top 10 running back, which is no doubt, but he'll likely be a top 10 pick. And he'll just probably be a little bit ahead of, too high for me, I think. I don't know. He kind of got dinged up a little bit, which happened a little bit in college. The offense is still a little bit unproven. I'm not going to give them, you know, all the credit that some people might because of their successful season so far. So I could see him being one person that I could be fading. And then my other fade is continuing with the bad offense strategy. I mean, I don't think that there has been anything more proven correctly this year than being, hey, just stay away from the teams that don't know how to throw, Buffalo Bills, who, or teams that don't know how to run, don't have a good offense, aren't going to win games. You know, you might have those certain games, but overall, Carolinas and the Buffaloes, and you know, you go ahead and go through the teams, just pile up on more players on one team that you know is going to have a successful offense than try and get the number one wide receiver on a bad offense. I think was once again proven to be overall fairly successful strategy, which I'm going to continue to emphasize and put even more weight going into the 2018 season.
So I got three players, and I think I'm being unfair to one of these three players. So I'll just preface it by saying that. But I agree. It's funny. I have Leonard Fournette down here as well, because I just think he's absolutely going to be a first round pick next year, given he was kind of had a lot of hype coming into this year in, you know, dynasty rookie drafts. He was, you know, being drafted in the top two or three. He had a really good year. I mean, he missed three games, but when he was in, you know, he was really good. But I just think with Fournette, I mean, number one, I think he benefited from a great defense, and they're going to probably have a good defense next year, but who knows if they'll be this good, this dominant. He doesn't catch a ton of passes, so under 35 catches this season. He wasn't projected to be a player that was going to catch a lot of passes in the NFL. So I don't know. I look at Leonard Fournette, and I don't see a ton of upside. I see this is kind of – he is what he is. He's one of those running backs that can step in right away and play great and reach his ceiling – very early, but as opposed to someone like Christian McCaffrey, who I think that there's a ton of upside for McCaffrey, and his ceiling is much higher given, you know, how many catches he had this year, and how if Jonathan Stewart retires or they get rid of Jonathan Stewart and they give, you know, more handoffs to Christian McCaffrey, he could be a factor on the ground as well. So I have Leonard Fournette. I have Jordan Reed, and I put Jordan Reed on here just because I'm officially done with players like Jordan Reed. And I think that's it might be a bad name for this because I think Jordan Reed is someone that won't be drafted probably in the first 10 rounds at least next year. But just not taking a chance on a player like Jordan Reed that you can never depend on. And then the last one I had here is Julio. The only thing I'll say about Julio, and I think I'm being a little bit unfair to Julio because he's been incredibly consistent, 1,300 or more receiving yards each of the last four seasons. But it just seems whenever you have Julio, you always spend a first-round pick on him, and you're always just like left wanting a little bit more. If you take away the one game this season where he had that 50-plus point outburst against Tampa Bay, he was just very eh all year long. Only a couple other games outside of that one game with over 20 points. So the only thing I will say about Julio is if I can get, and I think Julio is, we both agree, he's absolutely going to be a second-round receiver. You're not going to have to waste a first-round pick on him. If I can get Julio in the middle of the second round, I would be fine. But I'm not wasting one of the first three picks in the second round on Julio. So,
all right, good. Yeah, I like that. And we talked a little bit about Julio and how he's kind of – I mean, his production's there, and his numbers are actually going to, I think, besides touchdowns, surpass last year's numbers. But obviously, you know, you kind of have that feeling of slight disappointment or empty feeling of wanting more, very similar to a Dez Bryant scenario. Even though a lot of people still had to only take Dez Bryant in the late second, it's like, wow, geez, even though I did take him in the late second, I'm still slightly disappointed throughout the course of the year. Even though most weeks I still end up with that 14, 15 points, but it's, you know, you didn't get a lot of return. So there is that balance of getting the guaranteed points as well as the upside. But if there's not
question,
yeah,
next year, middle save. This is kind of who I compare Julio to. Who would you rather have, Travis Kelce or Julio? Regardless of round, if you could just have one of those two players. Because you look at the point differential, I mean, Travis Kelce, 237 fantasy points. Julio, 244. I think most people would think Julio would go higher than Travis Kelce, but I think at this point I would rather have someone like Travis Kelce over Julio Jones.
Yeah, I think it's very close. I think I'd probably still lean towards Julio, knowing that I could probably get someone like a Zach Ertz in the next round, if that was, you know, like if I'm going to start getting into the strategy of the draft, you know, start thinking like that. I don't know if there's someone like Julio I can get in the next round if I take Kelce, but I think I'd still lean towards Julio as of now. So it's a close call, but let's go ahead, Seth, and get into our top 10 picks of the 2018 season. Seth and I have each done our 2018 top 10 picks. Before we do that, though, real quick, Seth, let's go ahead and thank our sponsor once again, mybookie.ag.
Yep, there is no better time ever to go and throw some money on some football games than the NFL playoffs. I mean, you look at the playoffs right now, and just looking at who's going to be in the playoffs, you have the Rams this year, you have the Eagles, even though it's with Nick Foles, you have the Minnesota Vikings. You have a lot of sexy teams out there. So I'm going to be looking to throw some money around on some of these teams. I don't know. This is the best time of year to bet, especially when fantasy's over. You don't have any rooting interest with, you know, regards to fantasy players. So you need to get a little extra juice on these games. I mean, am I wrong here?
I completely agree. And I'm really, really curious to know, who is your favorite to win the Super Bowl? Which odds do you like the best? And I'm pulling up some of the odds right now on mybookie.ag. And I'm going to give you a name that I like a lot. I like the odds. I like the return. Going back to the well here, Seth, the Minnesota Vikings at plus 450. In comparison, New England's at plus 160. So you're getting three times the odds there.
Minnesota will be at home in the Super Bowl.
Minnesota will be home. I think that Minnesota represents one of the worst matchups for New England. Man-to-man, press coverage, outside, can still play offense. They're obviously great at defense. I honestly think it's going to be extremely hard to get Minnesota out of the playoffs because
– I was just going to say, with Minnesota, see, I love the Rams, and I want to pick the Rams, but – if they have to go through Minnesota, I don't see them knocking off Minnesota in Minnesota.
No way. And no way. And there's something. It's not gonna happen. There's something to the Rams that tells me, and I know this is probably me being a little, I'm not sure, but I just don't know if they're going to have the matureness and maybe the defense that I've seen the Vikings have to step up and win the game. I know they've been kind of fancy all season. They've had a good offense. They've had some good playmaking. But when it comes down to it, are they going to be able to win that tight matchup? We'll see, of course. Give me a team that you want to – that you think is going to win the championship. I will repeat the mybookie.ag kind of odds here, and let's see who you like.
Okay, I'm gonna give you two. First of all, I love Minnesota.
You can't give me one.
All right, one of them is Minnesota.
Okay.
One under the radar pick in the NFC that I really like is Carolina, and Carolina seems to me to be that team that they're a front running team. Last year, they had a lot of expectations. They kind of crapped the bed a little bit. This year, they got a really good defense. Cam Newton can make plays. The addition of Christian McCaffrey, they've got Greg Olsen back. I like the makeup of the Panthers as a team that can travel well and a team that has all the pieces to pull off some upsets and be that kind of Baltimore Ravens, New York Giants team of the past that gets in the playoffs as a wild card team and runs the table.
As soon as you said Carolina Panthers, I thought a couple things. One is I absolutely hate them. Two is I don't.
Very good point.
Well, one of the reasons why I hate them is because I don't think they're actually – I don't think Cam Newton's still all that great of a quarterback. I think that the overall team is quite good. I think Ron Rivera does a great job. But I thought you hit the nail on the head when you said kind of like that Baltimore Ravens team, because that's what they remind me of. They can go anywhere and win any single game. They actually beat Minnesota this year, right? So I think that they have that ability, but they look ugly a lot of times doing it. Cam Newton looks ugly a lot of times doing it. He sometimes needs to do it on the ground instead of through the air because he's not a very conventional quarterback. Which
just like Ravens and Flacco, ugly.
Yep, it's very ugly, but they can get it done. So I hear you. I buy it. I think that there's a lot of legitimacy to the Carolina Panthers in that sense.
I just think in the playoffs, especially with wild card teams, you need to look at teams that can win in a variety of different ways. They can win high scoring games and low scoring ugly games. I don't know if the Rams can win a game, you know, a 10-7 game or a 13-10 game against Minnesota or somebody. The Rams have to be involved in shootouts to win. Carolina can win if the game's in the 30s. They can win, you know, one of those really ugly games because they have a good defense. So that's why I like Carolina. They can run the football.
I agree. Carolina's more battle-tested. Carolina is at plus 1,300 right now on MyBookie. So
I love it.
Check them out, mybookie.ag, and everyone gets a deposit bonus for signing up. All right, Seth, now let's quickly hit this now, our top 10 for 2018. How do you want to do this? Let's do it this way.
Let's do a mock draft. You pick, then I pick, then you pick, then I pick, and then we'll just recap it at the end.
Let me tell you,
we'll talk about it after, but there's three running backs. I'm just going to say it now. There's Christian McCaffrey, Kareem Hunt, and Leonard Fournette. I don't know which order to put these cats in. All right.
Okay. So all right.
I'll let you have the first pick overall.
All right. I get the first pick overall because I'm not going to be taking Gurley first overall. So I wanted to start it off that way. This is a PPR league. And of course, I'm going Le'Veon Bell.
And I'm going to go Todd Gurley.
All right. I'm going to write this down so I can keep notes here, and I'm going to go Ezekiel Elliott.
Interesting. I had Zeke fifth on my rankings.
I had Zeke second, by the way.
Second, interesting.
Over Gurley.
See, and this is already much more exciting than the way we were going to do it.
Yes, it rankings. Is already.
So much. It's such an intense mock draft right now. So Le'Veon Bell, number one.
We're
Gurley, number two.
Only eight plus months away from actually executing this.
Yep. Right around the corner. All right. So clearly at this stage, you have Antonio Brown and Alvin Kamara. I'm going to go with Alvin Kamara. Number four.
Alvin Kamara. Okay. This is definitely interesting. I'm glad that we did this. See, I still can't take Alvin Kamara over DJ, so I'm taking DJ next.
Another really tough player to rank you. So David Johnson, number five, and yep. Antonio Brown, number six. I mean, when is the last time Antonio Brown fell to number six.
And he did nothing. He did nothing wrong this year. Like
no,
to deserve that drop.
No.
All right. All right. Now, can we just say this is where the fun starts, or this is where the draft starts? I guess.
Yep.
It's in many ways.
Well, I don't know, but I feel like this first round is completely wide open after Bell, Gurley, Kamara, and Brown. I mean, obviously Zeke. So I think the whole thing is.
You know what?
All
I
over
have
the place.
Kamara.
Johnson, where is he going to go? I mean,
I have Kamara 7 on mine.
Interesting. Yeah. See, I have David Johnson 7. But it's tough. It's a coin flip. You can go either way with those two.
Okay. I got next is DeAndre Hopkins for me. And now, yep. And now you're really down to, I think, a huge tier drop off, right? Am I right?
I agree. Because you have Odell Beckham, you have Kareem Hunt, you have Leonard Fournette, you have McCaffrey. Now, McCaffrey, you're really banking on upside. Kareem Hunt started the year's first three games, monster. His last three games, he's been an absolute monster. It's that big gap in between. So I think with me, it's really between Odell Beckham and it's between Kareem Hunt, because if you're going to draft Kareem Hunt, you're really banking on him being the player he was the first three games and the last three games. So I think with the Giants, I'd have to see who they hire as their coach, assuming we'll have to see who they hire as their coach, who the quarterback is. But assuming I like that situation, I'm going to probably go Odell Beckham here.
ODB, I like it. Okay. So the two people that I'm looking at is right now is between actually Hunt and Gordon. The thing that I look at with Hunt is a couple questions. One is Alex Smith likely not the starter there next year. And we've seen it before. Just there's certain quarterbacks, even if the offense overall is generally designed to get the ball to the running backs, some are more apt to check down than others. Phillip Rivers checks down a lot. Carlos Hyde had those back-to-back games where they had their backup quarterback or third-string quarterback. I'm kind of drawing a blank on the name, Seth. That he was catching 8-9 passes, and then once Garoppolo came in, you know, Garoppolo was actually moving the ball downfield. So, and Charkandrick West is coming back. There's a number of different question marks that would.
And Spencer Ware, you mean?
Yeah, Spencer Ware's coming back. So there's slight question marks, not huge, but a number of them unknowns that I just don't know. Where I'm going to lean towards Gordon, where even though I don't think he's maybe as talented as Hunt, I know that the production is going to be there, and more importantly, through the air, which is great for week-to-week consistency and, of course, all the goal line. So, actually, Melvin Gordon after ODB.
And I think I would go Kareem Hunt, edging out Leonard Fournette. And this is also why the end of the first round – late part of the first round is a great spot to be in, too, because this is going to stack up to be probably the best second round. I mean, probably the best first two rounds that I can ever remember. I mean, the second round is absolutely loaded with the likes of Michael Thomas, A.J. Green, Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones. You know, I think for me, someone like Melvin Gordon would probably follow the second round. LeSean McCoy, McCaffrey. So I think it's so loaded.
So loaded. Not even including one of the top tight ends, maybe.
Gronk, Kelsey, yep. So I would go Kareem Hunt.
All right, Kareem Hunt. So that rounds out our top 10. Bell, Gurley, Zeke, Kamara, David Johnson, Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, ODB, Melvin Gordon, and Kareem Hunt. Yeah, as of today, Seth, that sounds pretty loaded.
Yeah, I think David Johnson is the most interesting player there for me because he pretty much missed the full season, and you have all these new shiny objects. You know, with the year Gurley had, with Alvin Kamara, with Fournette, McCaffrey, does David Johnson get overlooked? He could be somebody that drops to 7 or 8 or 9. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what his ADP is looking like as we get closer. I mean, not that we could get too much closer to next year. I mean, we're in December of 2017, right? I mean,
basically next week, there's no way that this changes at all.
Nope, absolutely not.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our episode, and we will likely be off for a couple weeks or some time to regroup as we kind of finish off the fantasy football season. We appreciate everyone for listening. We hope that you guys had the best season listening to us and winning a fantasy football championship. It is Seth. It is Jeff. We are the NFL Talking Heads, and thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that three times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull. We'll catch you next time.